Again, we continue our series on Ecclesiastes. This morning we turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, page 663 in our Pew Bible, 663. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7, through chapter 12, verse 1, is our scripture passage as well as our text for the sermon of this morning. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7, where the word of God speaks to us as follows: Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart, and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. So far, our passage and our text. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the course of this series on the book of Ecclesiastes, brothers and sisters, we are getting to know the preacher quite well. He presents himself as a man who, at a ripe and older age, serves the Lord with all the experience and knowledge he built up in life. He's a man who has been young and looked around in the life with lively interest. All things are good. God has made everything beautiful in its time. With youthful enthusiasm, he did his utmost to discover the secret of life. What's this world heading for? Where are people going with this world? His first attempt answering these questions, he made with a study of philosophy. That must be interesting. What are the answers at which other people arrived? However, he could not really be at peace with their answer. Perhaps he thought it's not so much a matter of contemplation, but of participation. I should live it up, live life to the fullest, and immerse myself in all the activities that seem to give people satisfaction in life, a purpose to live for. So he did. Did it disclose the goal of life? No, it didn't. Certain moments may be fun, exciting, but they don't last. They're fleeting. So he approached his investigation of life from another angle. He looked at the people who build something up in life, people who really work at leaving their mark in this world. He gave himself over to all sorts of projects, enterprises. Day and night he got involved in fruitful labor, constructive work. Again, it did not reveal to him the secret of life. Yet he wanted to find it. Yes, he did find it. No, not in wisdom, not in enjoyment, not in a project. He found it in the temple of God, in the place where God lives and where the law is given as a directive for a life with God. There he saw the future of God, the future in Christ. There he found a way of life. Then he became a preacher in the temple. He desired to share his true wisdom with the congregation of the Lord. And when he preached, he saw the youth of the church among his audience as well. Then he thought, now they should know that secret of life as early as possible. For he knew that though there may be times in which you put off that question, yet time and again the matter forces itself upon us. What am I living for? What goal do I have in life? What is to me the value of life? And it may be so that we know the answer in theory, but then we also realize that the practical evidence of this, the way we work out this theoretical answer, is far from easy. That's why the preacher keeps pointing up, keeps pursuing us to find the answer concerning the purpose of life with God. Also for the youth of the church. The young people of the congregation will find a meaning of life with God in Christ. He is the life. That's then the message, the theme of the sermon of this morning, the message of life for the youth of the church. It conveys, first of all, the acceptance of life, secondly, the appreciation of life, and thirdly, the accountability for life. So I summarize the message of our text as follows. The message of life for the youth of the church. It conveys the acceptance of life, the appreciation of life, and the accountability for life. So first of all, the acceptance of life. Brothers and sisters, every time you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, it's striking how positively the man expresses himself. In spite of all his observations of the futilities in this world, his conclusions about man's limitations and about the relative value of things, the preacher repeatedly encourages to enjoy life. There's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil, he says. There's nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves, he adds. To be joyful in the day of prosperity, to enjoy the life with the wife whom you love, etc., etc. That's how he puts it in our text again. Really, despite all the difficulties and risks I mentioned, the light of life is so sweet, and it is so pleasant when you may see the sunshine. Well, we can say that again after this past week. You better be aware of that, regardless whether you are 18 or 80. That's how he expresses his positive attitude, confirming the encouragement for fruitful labor that we find in the verses 1 through 6. How good it is to work and to live in the land of the living. The preacher seems to join praises with David in Psalm 56. I will praise my thank offering to God, O God, for you have delivered my soul from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. What a positive way of accepting life, beloved, the preacher conveys in this word, as if he wants to say, Don't walk around with an expression of boredom on your face. Don't go through the day groaning and moaning over the many miseries and the great troubles. No, work joyfully in your daily task. For light is sweet, and it pleases the eye to see the sun. That's what he says right after his excursion on labor. In the preceding chapters also, he dealt with our daily toil, not hiding the hardships of it, yet always coming to the advice, enjoy it. For the preacher knows that work is not something that came into the world because of sin, that it's not something that intends to make life difficult. Labor is not the necessary evil that some people consider it to be. No, labor is part of the life here on earth that God gave man to live in. He gave it to man at the creation of this world as a service of honor. Man was created to work for God. The Lord made today to enjoy that work. Does that not hold true still? Would man not work indeed when he knows that there is the divine working of God? As the Lord Jesus put it, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. John 5, verse 17. So accept that life, the preacher says. Accept life in its entirety that's given you in God's light of grace, under God's Son of grace. Then we see the preacher confirm this point, brothers and sisters, by directing the attention to the future again. He urges us to accept this life with a view to God's future for it. Indeed, if we accept it only as long as life is enjoyable in itself, then we run stuck in the futilities again. No, the preacher encourages the covenant community to find this joy by faith in the future of God. The future that God the Lord has promised to us. Dare to live joyful and free in the communion of the saints who are united in the work of God, the work towards the coming of the Messiah. See, that gives hope to your life, which overcomes the futilities. That gives value to your life, which lasts. However many years a man may live, the preacher says, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. No, brothers and sisters, he does not add this to put a damper on the joy of labor, on the value of life. No, the preacher is just realistic, sober in faith. He wants to say, as it were, that everyone who believes in the future of God will accept his life, will go to work with joy. Such a believer does not do so, however, in the sense that he expects this life, this labor, to be our hope, our comfort, our purpose in itself. If that were the case, the preacher implies, then you are in for a bitter disappointment. You will find yourself toiling and slaving from day to day without ever making any progress. A life like that will run stuck in the darkness that's coming when you cannot work any longer and your life comes to a halt in death. Then you cannot take anything along of what you have been living for in life itself, in labor itself. If then darkness replaces the light, it will all appear to be futile. Therefore, the preacher, beloved, does not suggest accepting life for the sake of life itself, for then your life ends up in a dead-end road. Everyone, however, who finds life in God Himself, in God's future, and in God's work with this world, he will find life, true life, that is. Thus, we will also understand the preacher's encouragement to enjoy the light of day. For then we will walk as children of light. Walk as children of light, the Lord Jesus also proclaims. And let your light shine, so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. You see, brothers and sisters, then the life we live to God. And the death we die in Christ, who has lit up the darkness. Then we live by faith and accept life for the future that God has promised. However, whoever does not believe in that future walks in darkness even on the brightest day. Then it is especially through this acceptance of life that we will also come to a true appreciation of life. That is the important basis which we should all have for our life. Yet it's particularly significant that our young people come to accept it that way. That's our second point, the appreciation of life. Rejoice, O young man, and you too, of course, young girls, rejoice in your youth and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. Young people, it is especially important for you that you pursue the joy of life as the preacher has been promoting it. Seek in your youth the happiness of life, the pleasures of life. Now, some people, beloved, find this encouragement surprising. It kind of puzzles them that this somber preacher, with often seemingly depressing statements, could say to the young people of the church, enjoy your life in your youth. Do as you please. Is that possible? Does the Bible really promote that kind of lifestyle, which is little short of saying live it up? So a lot of people have trouble understanding this incentive for the young people. Is that possible? Pursuing happiness? Aiming for the pleasures of life? Oh, sure, if we get happiness, if it happens to turn out as pleasant, sure, then we may as well enjoy it. But make it our goal? For that does seem to be the overriding idea in the verses 9 and 10. Seek after happiness, joy. Verse 10 even strengthens that pursuit by warning to avoid whatever could spoil it. Especially when you are young, make sure you won't lose the pleasures. Could a preacher indeed be saying that? Live it up? Has he not shown with overwhelming evidence how serious life is and how difficult too? Could this advice be consistent with that? Brothers and sisters, it could well be that you who are struggling so much already to convince your teenage children of the seriousness of life that you say to yourself, well, thanks. You're making it pretty tough on parents who are worried enough already to keep their young people in line. Why doesn't the preacher help us in this instead of giving our children a push in the backup to live it up? Are they not wasting enough time on all sorts of pleasures and fun? And then to say, follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see? Then he even adds to it, and don't spoil your young and joyful life by all sorts of worries. Keep the ailments from your body, that is, stay fit and firm. And don't get sick, but prolong your happiness. You're only young once, and it goes by so fast. Enjoy it. Indeed, brothers and sisters, that's what the preacher is saying. And he means it too, all the way. Yet again, that's not the only thing he says. Just as with the first point, the acceptance of life, he does not say this as something that should be pursued in and by itself. The preacher points ahead again. The preacher has the plan of God, the future of God in mind. For he says, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Enjoy your life. Rejoice in your youth. But remember, right in the center of your life, God is standing. Right in the midst of your fun, the Lord is present too and reminds you, how do you rejoice? What is it that gives you pleasure? At the end of your life, God will be there again to ask you, what have you done with the life I've given you? What did you do with your calling in life, with your happiness, your duties, your entertainment, your work, your fun? His judgment will include also the life you lived in your youth. So does the preacher encourage you, young people, to live it up relentlessly? No, he doesn't. Rather, he reminds you, know what you're doing. Remember the future of God. He'll ask you, how did you enjoy life? What did you seek? Where did you seek your fun? Be happy all the way. Enjoy and appreciate life to the hilt. Yet fear God. Live in deep respect for your Maker. Now let me hasten to add again, that's not a damper on the joy. That's the gospel for God's people. It's not true, as sometimes is said or thought, that the fear of God takes the fun out of life, that the commandments of God made life boring. On the contrary, in the fear of the Lord is the source of true joy, real happiness. The law of the Lord gives proper direction to help you finding lasting joy. Wholesome enjoyment and genuine happiness are rooted in the obedience to the law. In that same understanding, the preacher also reminds of the coming judgment of God. He does so, not to impose this judgment upon you as a gloomy threat, but to urge you to enjoy life on the way to that judgment, especially for us in the New Testament congregation, for you also, young people, this way may be joyful because on it you may follow him who went through the judgment already in your place, namely our Lord Jesus Christ. He bought for us happiness and joy in the richest sense of the word. Of course, that is a matter of faith. Faith in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as far as the appearance of life is concerned, it seems more likely that young people find more fun and pleasure in the world than in the covenant community. That's only outward fun, though. empty show and a temporary kick in life only. The pleasures of life in the covenant, however, the involvement with the youth of the Lord, pursuing the joys that are pleasing to God, that is what lasts. That's the preacher's message in the context of this book, beloved. When you are young, keep the worries and miseries away from your life. It doesn't fit our young people to sit around listless, bored, and blue. Life in the Lord is too promising for that. Rejoice, but keep the troubles away which sinful fun can bring in your life. For careless pleasure can do much harm to your physical and mental health. Cherish the precious gift of a young and healthy body and keep it that way. How many young people haven't already wrecked their body and by driving a car while they had been drinking, or while drinking too often and too much, damaging their brains, or by experimenting what effect drugs will have? How many young lives aren't spoiled already because of their sexual escapades? No, then it is truly joyful when you remember what Christ has done to redeem your life from such corruption. You will find true happiness when you live your life according to God's directives in thankfulness for such redemption. Yes, our young girls may be beaming as they desire a marriage in the Lord. Our young men may be excited as they enjoy their studies, their jobs in the Lord. They may enjoy their life together as young people who know the command, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. For he gives the perspective of eternal life to your youth. He gives the foretaste of that life in your youth already. Seek that in your youth indeed, for that is the time in which you learn about the giver of life, your Creator. For we are not our own. Your life is not your own. Your life belongs to God, who will also ask you about this joy in life. And so we come to our third point, the accountability for life. That's the way the preacher motivates his audience, brothers and sisters. He does not only point at the futilities, at the cause of all the miseries. He does not just point at the way out of them, but he also shows that it is God's plan to accomplish what he intended with our life. Remember, therefore, your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember him. It does not mean that you think of him so once in a while. Oh, yeah, right. He is there too yet. I should not forget that. As if the Lord is just an afterthought, a Sunday affair. No, remembering him is living for him, with him. You don't want to live without him, neither could you do so. Remember, he wants your whole life, every day. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, every day. Listen to him in your youth, for already in the beginning, his call to obedience aimed at preserving that happiness, the happiness of Adam and Eve at first, the joy of their life. Only when they ignored his call of obedience did they ruin their life, spoil their joy. The Lord Jesus, however, has shown us again that the true joy is to do the will of your Heavenly Father. Fear God, your Creator, and keep His commandments. That is the sum for the real fulfillment of life. Today already, brothers and sisters, also young brothers and sisters, the question is asked, is that the joy of your life? In that sense, Judgment Day is every day of the Lord, every Sunday on which you are confronted with the true purpose of life. Then you do not only accept your joy and enjoy it, appreciate it, but then you also test your life. For you know you will be accountable for it. Then you don't seek sin in your life, but you fight it. Then you won't taint your life with your boyfriend, your fiancé, but then you keep your body pure and preserve your virginity for the day the Creator leads you to your man. Then your work, your pleasures, and your relationships are not matters of personal preference, but then you walk and talk in the way of obedience. Then the preacher adds to this, beloved, that you cannot wait with that. That's not something of which you can say, well, we'll see about that later. But that's something you desired in your youth. That's the time you make your choices. You set out on your courses, and you seek to establish your position in life. For after these days, the years will be coming with troubles, with frailties and difficulties. If you have not already found in your youth the joy of the only comfort in life and death, then there won't be any joy in those evil days either. Then you will become so disappointed with life and say, was that all? My youth is past. The troubles begin. What good is there to live for? What's left to enjoy in it now? No, the time of your youth is decisive for it, beautiful for it. You know, have you ever seen a tree that did not have blossom in the spring and yet bore fruit in the fall? Trees like that don't exist. How would you ever want to bear fruit in old age if there is no blossom in your youth? Oh, sure, the Lord can do miracles. His grace can break through the regular patterns. He can make a crucified one into a fruitful tree just before his death, indeed. Don't speculate on that, though. Don't fool around with God's mercy, God's long-suffering. Remember your Creator in your youth. Remember your Creator, the preacher says. He doesn't just say, remember the Creator. Remember that God has created man. No, your Creator. What a tremendous privilege that is, boys and girls, that you may know the Lord as your Creator, who made you, who made a covenant with you, who made your broken life new in Jesus Christ. He wants you to accept that life, appreciate that life in your youth. Then don't say, I have a whole life before me yet. For the preacher knew what life is like. Even if your life extends to old age, you cannot wait till then. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Become obedient to this way of life today, the way it is preached to you in church on Sunday, explained in the catechism class during the week, or discussed in society tonight. For if then the difficulties will come, the evil days, in which you won't like the troubles we encounter in them, then you have something to look forward to, the coming of Christ. He will explain and reveal all things. He will restore all things. He will bring us into eternal life. Remember that today, beloved. Accept His word in faith today, young people. For to you, the Apostle John wrote his letter saying, I write to you, young men, young women, you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Yes, in Christ. Hence, the apostle adds to it, don't love the world or the things of the world, but rejoice in your youth, rejoicing in the Lord, for he who does the will of God abides forever. Amen. Let us sing in response from Psalm 119b. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Your word, O Lord, will safely lead if in its wisdom they confide. 119b, both stanzas, is our song of response.